Our first lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 6, the first 9 verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand he will let them go. By a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land." God also spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they resided as aliens. I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are holding as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians, and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We continue in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We are looking at verses 26 through 33. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. "So have no fear of them," meaning those who would persecute you. "For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." The word of the Lord. I was 15 years old and, at least for a moment, was on top of the world. I was part of a boys' fast-pitch softball team, 16 and under. Now, most people have never realized that there were actually boys' fast-pitch softball leagues. But a man I knew in our church put the team together, and I was the pitcher. And we had won the City of Houston 16 and under boys' championship. I was pumped. But what made me even more excited was the fact that even though for 16 and under there was nothing beyond the city championship, we had been invited to play in the regional boys 18 and under championship, the regionals. And I knew that we were better than anyone, including 17 and 18 year olds. So four teams in the regionals. The first game, somehow, by the grace of God, we managed to win. I don't remember the score. All I remember was we eked out a victory. And that gave us the confidence we needed to go in and face the 18 and under Houston City champions. Now, all of us were at least a head or two shorter and smaller than the boys on the other team. But for the first 3.5 innings, things went really well. I have this vivid memory of we were visitors, so we were up first in the fourth, and we managed to tie the game at 4-all. And then something happened. And it was not a good something. I might as well have been playing t-ball with these guys, and I should have just put up a tee, walked up, and put the ball right in front of them and told them to hit it. Because before the fourth inning was over, the game had been called because of the mercy rule. And the mercy rule was that at the end of four innings, one team was more than 20 runs ahead. So when these 17 and 18-year-olds had hit the 25 run mark, the umpire graciously called the game. And that was fine with me. Because I knew at that moment I was beaten, and it was time to pack up and go home and never look at my ERA ever again. And I was thinking about that this week as I thought about Moses and the people of God, the Israelites and the Egyptians, and thinking about Jesus and his followers. Because if you go back to last week's stories, what we learned was that for Moses, he had gone to Pharaoh and said, "Listen, Pharaoh, God wants you to let my people go." And Pharaoh didn't say, "Oh, sure, what the heck, let's do it." He made their life worse. Not only did they have to make the same number of bricks, but now they had to go out and find the straw and cut the straw and bring the straw back and prepare it to be part of the brick-making material. In other words, their life went from being bad to worse. And even when Moses tried to let the people know that God was really sort of with them, they wouldn't listen, as the Scripture says, because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Surely Moses should have known at that point to turn to God and say, "Okay, what I need is the mercy rule. We're defeated. It's time for me to pack up and go home." Same thing for Jesus' disciples. Jesus was sending them out on this mission to invite the people of God into proclaiming the in-breaking kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where justice would reign, where everything would be made new. What sounded on the surface to be a very exciting proposal, but Jesus, again, going back to last week, said, "Well, yeah, this is a great thing that you're called to do, but let me just fill you in. You're going to be hauled before civil authorities and religious authorities. You're going to be flogged. You're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be killed. You are going to be hated because of me." And again, you would have thought that the disciples would have thought better of this mission and said, "Well, you know, maybe God will just give us the mercy rule, say it's all over, we're defeated, time to pack up, go back to go fishing. Been fun, Jesus." But neither Moses nor the disciples give up. Moses doesn't give up because he understands that God doesn't have a mercy rule when it comes to the liberation of God's people, when it comes to securing justice in the world. Because I want you to listen again to the passage, part of the passage that Cindy read a few minutes ago. God knows that Moses is ready to give up. God knows that the people are ready to give up. But this is what God says: "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as God Almighty. I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. I've also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are holding as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Moses didn't give up because he knew the odds had been evened, that God had joined the team. And the same thing for Jesus. Jesus understands that his disciples are afraid. He understands that they might be intimidated and want to go back home and go fishing. And so he talks about sparrows. Sparrows were part of the sacrificial system, and you could go and buy them for sacrifices in the temple. And so somehow these animals were important to God. And he says, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head are counted. So don't be afraid. You are of far more value than many sparrows. And what the disciples heard in that is that God was with them. God was supporting them. God was undergirding them. God was giving them the courage to embark on this ministry of inviting others into the proclamation and the living of the kingdom of God, into justice, into peace. And this is what the Bible is replete with, are these stories of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and the prophets and Jesus and Peter and Paul. That with this God there is no mercy rule. God does not give up. That God continually supports God's people in helping to bring justice and helping God's people to show the world that all people are to be seen as children of God and treated as children of God and to have access to the benefits of society and culture. That this is the God of the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments. And so one would think then that if the God of this book, the God of the Israelites and the God of the church was the God who supports this mission, that the one place people could turn to find support for freedom and justice would be the church. But if you believe that, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because for some reason, whether the church just didn't believe it or just gave up and said the mercy rule was in effect and we're going back to our old way of life, it was the church who oppressed rather than liberated. It was the church that bought into this belief that somehow white skin was better than black skin. And so whites could enslave Africans and sell them. And even after the Atlantic slave trade had ended, 20 years after the Constitution was enacted, the church continued to say that it was legitimate to sell men and women and children, that enslavement of people of color was okay, that in fact it was supported by Scripture. It was the church that supported the oppression of women. Men were superior, women were inferior. I'm looking at my wife here, knowing I have to be careful, Cindy. But it was the church, in fact, fewer than 5 years ago, one of the largest denominations in our country reaffirmed the fact that women were to be perfectly obedient to their husbands, to never disagree. Men superior, women inferior. It was the church, and not just was, but is the church that has tried to deny rights to members of the LGBTQ community, that preached and taught and tried to force laws being passed to criminalize people because of who they loved. And so much of the church, even in this country, when same-sex marriage was approved by the Supreme Court, just totally objected. When the Supreme Court just a few weeks ago declared that someone couldn't be fired because of their sexual orientation, churches across this country rose up and said, "This is a terrible thing." And with members of the disability community, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was being debated in the late 1980s, the National Association of Evangelicals, which at the time represented what they said was 15 million Christians in this country, they wanted to make sure that the ADA would not apply to churches and ministries and religious schools. And this is what one of the people said before Congress who represented them. "Nothing has been shown to indicate that there's a national necessity to apply the ADA to churches, religious schools, and other ministries." And so for those who desired justice for full access to our society, unfortunately, it has been the church that has tried to block their way rather than support their rights. But that's not who we are. That's not who we've pledged ourselves to be. That we as First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham, we as Everybody's Church, have pledged ourselves to be a church that supports all people, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of disability, regardless of any condition. We have said that we are called by God to support these people, to support us, because that is us, to support all human beings, that they might find justice in this world. We have made that commitment. And that commitment is not just what we do within this building. For the church is not just what happens in these four walls on Sunday morning. The church, as you know, is out where you are. It is wherever you work. It is wherever you go to school. It is wherever you shop. Because the church literally means the called out people of God. That we have been called out to make this a reality for all people. For all people. And I know sometimes this can seem like an overwhelming task. It can seem as if it's an impossible task, as if we simply cannot accomplish it. And yet, Scripture calls us not to give up. Scripture reminds us that God is with us in this endeavor. And this morning, to help us hear that, to help us hear what that sounds like out in the world around us, I'm going to offer you, I don't often do this, but I'm going to offer you three quotes this morning, all from John, Representative John Lewis, who died this week, one of the great leaders of the civil rights movement. And I want you to listen to these and hear not just his voice, but the voice of Moses and the voice of Jesus talking about God's presence and calling and mission. Lewis says, "We need someone who will stand up and speak out for the people who need help, for people who are being discriminated against, And it doesn't matter whether they are black or white, Latino, Asian, or Native American, whether they are straight or gay, Muslim, Christian, or Jew. We need someone who will stand up and speak out. Nothing can stop the power of a committed and determined people to make a difference in our society. Why? Because human beings are the most dynamic link to the divine on this planet. And finally, as a word of encouragement, do not get lost in a sea of despair, he writes. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid, and I love this part, to make some noise and to get into good trouble. Necessary trouble. And that's what Jesus asked of his followers. To stand up for those who are oppressed. To proclaim the kingdom of God. To get into some good trouble, even if it led to being flogged and taken before authorities. And that's what God asks of Moses and asks of us. And so, my friends, we are everybody's church. And that is a wonderful thing. And so my challenge to you for this week is to ask yourself this question. How am I being of support to those who have not yet received the justice that God desires for them? And how can I continue to be of support even when the way is difficult? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you support us and call us to support others. Help us to be allies. Help us to be friends. Help us to share in this journey with all of those who struggle to find their place in the church and in the world. And help us to truly be everybody's church for everyone around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.